a frog in this basement.
That's super, super fun. Let me know if you see it.
Yeah, that's our question. It's either like right behind a window, which is would be fine because then it would still be outside, or it's behind our sink. So,
hi, I'm Ashlyn, and welcome back to I'll Tell You What, a spoopy podcast.
That's not how we
start. That's really not how we start, but oh well, it's how we're starting today.
How am I supposed to say my name now?
Just say it.
I'm Miranda.
There
and
we
Ashlyn
go.
Ashlyn ruined everything.
That's just how this week's going.
Ashlyn, I'm sorry. We've only been doing this for 70, what, this is 73 episodes, and you messed up our intro.
It's been a week, okay? Give me a break.
I give you no breaks. I don't care if you almost died. Segway.
I keep wanting to say that was only one time, but that's not really true anymore.
No.
Yeah, it's...
Well, it was one time this week.
Yeah, okay, one time this week. Yeah, this past week. Yesterday, I got back in town. No, day before yesterday. Yeah. Oh my gosh, I completely lost the day of Saturday, I guess.
I mean, so did I, so it's fine. And I was here for all of it.
I also lost Wednesday, but that's because I...
Traveling?
No.
Oh.
I was in the hospital.
Dying, yes.
I'm good now.
She's fine.
It was just a stomach bug thing.
Every time she gets a stomach bug, she ends up in the hospital. Yeah. I don't know how many times I've taken her to the emergency room myself.
It's so. Because when you get dehydrated, you're...
It stresses your heart out?
Yeah. It causes tachycardia and stuff like that.
Weird.
And
when you have a heart condition, it's not...
Yeah.
It doesn't work out well, huh?
I just need to learn how to give myself an IV and then it'll be fine, right?
No.
Just like...
Ashlyn, if you
I don't have the training for this.
You also don't have the hand, like...
coordination. Fine, you learn how to do it.
Ashlyn, I'm in my... That was the weirdest way I've ever said your... Ashlyn, if you are having a panic attack, because I guarantee you were, while you are can't breathe because your heart is racing, you think your hand is going to be steady enough to put an IV in your arm?
No,
I don't.
You do it early. Like, at this point, I know if I have a stomach bug, I'm going to need to go to the But I was hoping I outgrew that over the past couple of years, because it's been a while, you know, since
yeah,
I had to go.
I suppose. You're right.
And I was like, maybe I don't need to this
time. Yeah, no. COVID,
and I was
COVID's
wrong,
COVID's not
okay?
going to take her out. Just a stomach bug.
Right. So, yeah, it's been a week.
Jeez Louise.
Did you?
I was just bored.
You were just bored all week?
Yeah.
Didn't do anything?
Lonely. I mean, Josh was here. Really.
How much should we really talk in a week, Miranda? This
yeah,
is the
your
most.
Your presence is, you know, nice.
Oh, my presence. Just my general aura.
Well, that and... Never mind. I won't get into that. It's fine.
What?
People ask more of me when you're gone. It's just a lot.
Miranda's like, I need you here so I don't have to be.
Yeah. Pretty much. Yeah. I've been here. Actually, I mean, the most exciting things I've done all week happened while you got back. So, and you weren't a part of them.
Wow. Crazy.
I don't know. Today, Josh and I went to the City River Market.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. And we bought some local goodies from local shops.
Oh. Yeah. Did you get any herbs?
No, I almost bought some, but I didn't.
Well, now I'm disappointed.
But I did buy strawberry pineapple jam. And blueberry muffin butter.
Nice.
It's like a nut butter, I suppose. Not a nut butter. Like an apple butter, I mean.
That's pretty cool.
Blueberry muffin flavored.
I like it.
So, yeah. Pretty excited for that.
Yeah, it's been a while since I went to City River Market. If you're ever in Kansas City on
a weekend,
go to City River Market because it's pretty cool.
We had the best Mediterranean food today.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, it's been so long. It made me so happy. I had a falafel sandwich. It was so good. Getting teary-eyed just thinking about it.
Miranda loves falafel.
I love falafel. And I love hummus. Yep. I've been making a lot of casseroles lately, just taking up the white man's pastime, you know?
Welcome to the Midwest, Miranda.
Right? A lot of them involve broccoli and cheese.
Welcome to the Midwest,
yeah, exactly.
Miranda.
Exactly.
Oh, wow.
I'm in the shan.
So, Miranda's had fun.
Yeah,
I had multiple adventures. With that, I suppose. Miranda, I'll tell you what.
God.
I'll tell you about the Cottingley Fairies.
The what?
Yeah, we're just complete left field.
Oh, sorry. Fairies? Is that part of curses, conspiracies, curses, and cults?
Yes.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I'm filing it under conspiracy because it was in my conspiracy book that you told one of the kids to buy me for Christmas.
I'm not going to tell you where we got that.
So it counts now, Miranda.
Okay.
Boom.
That's fine.
So the Cottingley Fairies refers to a series of five photographs taken in 1917 in the village of Cottingley in West Yorkshire in the United Kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And these photos allegedly proved the existence of fairies.
Ooh. In England?
Yeah.
I'm surprised it wasn't like Ireland or something.
So in 1917, 9-year-old Frances Griffiths and her mother moved in with Frances's aunt and 16-year-old cousin, Elsie Wright.
Okay.
Elsie and Frances would spend a lot of time down by a stream, which is called a beck, apparently, in this area, like B-E-C-K, at the bottom of the family's garden, which resulted in the two often returning with wet feet and clothes.
Well, yeah.
When their mothers got annoyed, the two claimed that the reason they went down to the stream was to see the fairies.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So for proof, the duo took Elsie's father's Midge quarter plate camera to the Cottingley Beck, and 30 minutes later returned, claiming that they had caught the fairies on film.
Okay, I'm sorry. This is the 70s?
No, 1917.
1970. Okay, because for a second I was like, wait a second. They took a very expensive camera down there? They took a very expensive camera down there.
So her father, Elsie's father, was very into photography. He actually had his own black room.
Oh, wow.
And everything.
Dark room, you mean?
Yeah. I have it in dark room here, so I don't know where I got that. I think, so the last time I was in a dark room was in college.
Pitch black?
Yeah, and everything in there was black, sorry.
Yeah, I gotcha, I'm here.
Thank you.
I know you, it's fine.
So the photo, as I said, was developed by Elsie's father in his personal dark room, and it clearly showed Frances sitting contentedly with four fairies dancing and playing music around her.
That sounds like it's a little too good of a picture.
It was a very clear picture. I mean,
I know, that's what I'm saying though. But like when I see pictures of things that I don't think, you know, that nobody thinks are real, I want them to be blurry and grainy and to not be able to tell what it is. I want it to look like someone's thumb is over the camera.
Dear David was too real for you, huh?
Oh, God, no. No, don't bring that up. I have nightmares.
You chose the topic.
Very vivid flashes just came
this
to
is
mind.
What you,
I'm
this
scared.
Is what you get for not researching your topics ahead of time.
That was a real-time discovery. If you go back and listen to that episode, part two specifically, but listen to both parts, you know, for it to make more sense. It was so scary.
Well, getting back to the pictures at hand, Elsie's father, like you, believed it to be nothing more than a prank. So months later, the girls went out and returned with another picture. This picture was of Elsie this time as she was being greeted by a winged gnome.
A winged gnome.
Yes, a winged gnome.
Okay. I'm sorry, are they insinuating that fairies look like gnomes?
No.
Oh, okay.
Like so if you look at the pictures, the original fairies look, you know, like how we think of fairies.
Yeah. Pretty.
And cute. This one
sprightly.
Looks like a gnome with wings. So
where did this one go from?
I don't know what to tell you.
crossbreeding. I'm just kidding.
I was thinking like it was more like just a male fairy, but I don't know.
No, I imagine those ones are sprightly too. I don't want to think that male fairies all look like gnomes with wings.
Was the male, like, I know the male fairy in Tinkerbell, was that voiced by Jesse McCartney?
Yes, it sure was. And they gave us some, like, vibes, but then no payoff for it, and it really bothered me. But we won't get into that.
You're just hoping all male fairies kind of look like the male fairies in the Tinkerbell movie?
Okay. Of course they do. We have some diversity. There is Clank and Bobble.
I know.
You know?
I know. I was. That's why I included all the male fairies instead of just the Jesse McCartney ones. Anyway.
I can't.
So while Elsie's father wasn't convinced.
There's the frog. I thought mom was screaming upstairs.
Oh, yeah, I hear it.
Can you hear it in the headphones?
I think so, but I'm not entirely sure.
Well,
that's a really loud frog.
Yeah, sorry if you guys can't hear the frog.
I feel like it's apropos because, like, you know, we're in like a little stream area right now.
Oh yes, we were like, just adding
story.
This was just if you could hear a frog, that was just added ambiance that we added to the
clearly
the audio.
Yeah, mm-hmm. like the crickets. Yeah, that will inevitably happen again.
Like the crickets. Yeah, we add that sound, and it's definitely not. Oh my god. It's definitely not because they're rampaging into my house.
Okay. I'm so glad I don't live in the basement. Okay, so while Elsie's father still wasn't convinced and refused
to flying gnome picture, he wasn't convinced.
Yeah, he didn't buy it. So he refused to let the girls use his camera again.
He was like, okay, stop jacking around with my camera.
Yeah, but
throwing gnomes off buildings.
Elsie's mother, Polly, however, thought otherwise.
Oh.
So toward the end of 1918, Francis sent a letter to a friend back in South Africa containing the first photo, saying of the fairies, "It is funny. I never used to see them in Africa. It must be too hot for them there." So, yeah.
Okay. So just saying, oh, I never saw them back home, but I see them here.
And she also included the first photo that they took in this.
Maybe it was just a group of children dressing up as fairies and dancing around.
Someone actually posits that. And hang on, can you pull up the pictures of it on your phone? Because I need you to follow along here.
Yeah, I have no idea what you're
We're going to have these photos on Instagram, by the way.
Do you know how many links to them, though?
No.
Oh, darn. What am I looking up?
Cottingley Fairies. Cottingley. Because I need you to be able to follow along with this.
Okay. Oh, they're little.
Yeah.
Okay, I thought it was like grown fairies, like a ton of them.
Yeah, so if you need a reference, by the way, while you're listening to this, you can go to our Instagram, or you can search them on Google.
Apparently, I'm going to put these on Instagram.
I will send them to you, okay? Okay.
That's fine, I got it.
All right, so...
Wait, where's the gnome one?
Now we're coming to 1919.
I'm trying to find the gnome.
Here, let me see it. There you go. There's your gnome. Okay.
It's base.
Like I said, winged gnome. Anyway, moving on.
God.
Okay. So we're coming into 1919. So Elsie's mother goes to a lecture on fairy life by the Theosophical Society in Bradford.
Yes.
At the end of the lecture, she shows the two photographs the girls had taken. This, of course, sparked debates over the existence of real fairies in Cottingley Beck. So a few months later, the photos were shown at the Theosophical Society's annual conference in Halifax. So the members of this society thought that they might be credible enough, so they put them in the conference, right?
Mm-hmm.
By this point, the photos have been deemed genuine and unedited by photography expert Henry Snelling.
Dang.
By 1920, the photographs had garnered wide notoriety. And still not everyone was convinced, obviously.
Uh-huh.
So Elsie and Francis went to provide more proof.
Okay.
The two girls went out and, with some difficulty, as the fairies would not show themselves around others, they were able to capture three more photos.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
One photo was of a leaping fairy greeting Francis.
Uh-huh.
Another was of a different fairy offering a flower to Elsie. And the third was a trio of fairies sunbathing in the grass. Now, we'll come back to the third photo later on, because this one in particular was a bit odd. As both girls claim to have taken the photo.
Oh.
But there's more to it than that.
Okay.
I promise. So, as the photos became widespread, Arthur Wright, Elsie's father, gave permission for the photos to be reprinted and distributed, but refused any payment for them.
Okay.
He didn't really believe that the photos were real, but if they were, he didn't want the discovery of fairies to be spoiled by money.
Okay.
So this isn't like a fraudulent thing, even if, you know, they're not real.
Yeah.
They're not earning money off of it. It's just good fun, at least.
Woohoo.
So one of the Theosophical Society's leading members, Edward Gardner, sent the photographs out to Kodak to get a second professional opinion. You know, Kodak, the picture company?
Yes.
Camera making company? All that fun stuff? Yep. Okay, so Kodak.
The Kodak moment.
Exactly. These fairies were Kodak moments.
Oh, wow.
Clearly. So, Kodak, while admitting that the photographs showed no evidence of being faked, declined to issue a certificate of authenticity.
Oh.
As they stated that there still wasn't conclusive evidence that they were authentic photos of fairies. So they're like, yeah, these...
Close, but no dice.
Yeah, they're like, yeah, you didn't edit these photos, but they still might not be real fairies. So...
I have a theory, but I'm not going to pose it just yet. Because I don't want to give it away.
Why not?
Because I'm guessing I'm right.
So, the photos were shown to physicists, and...
Because I looked at the pictures now, so.
And in the light of the
21st century woman, I think I know how the fairies came to be.
Miranda is claiming to be, you know, more intelligent than a 1920s photo expert. What, you know more about photos than them?
No,
is that what you're claiming, Miranda?
I have eyes.
So the photos were also shown to physicist and psychical researcher Sir Oliver Lodge.
What is it, cyclical or no, cyclical?
It's P-S-Y, Miranda.
Oh, okay. That's a weird word.
Psychical.
Psychical. Okay.
Researcher Sir Oliver Lodge, who believed that the photos had been faked by dancers who disguised themselves as fairies.
Oh, yes, yes. Very small
so
dancers.
So what you said earlier.
They just happen to be very small. Tiny dancers, if you will.
I don't know why the tiny dancer thing got to me. Like, why was that funny?
Josh said it in the back.
Anyway.
Just references that don't need to be made.
Okay. So Gardner visited the Wrights in 1921 with cameras, and he was accompanied by occultist Jeffrey Hodson. Francis and Elsie did not claim to see fairies at this point. But Hodson claimed that he saw fairies everywhere and took copious amounts of notes.
Mm.
Later on, Elsie and Francis would admit that they were fed up with fairies. By this point,
we don't like them anymore. We're tired of this.
And they're like, we're done. Like, leave us alone. They considered Hodson to be a fake, although they did play along for a bit of mischief.
Yes. Just a bit of mischief.
I mean, everything about these girls says mischief. In order to see a fairy, I feel like I have to be mischievous anyway.
That says that for a bit of mischief.
A bit of mischief.
Ooh.
I mean, Harry Potter fans have mischief managed, so there's that.
I like the word mischief. It's fun.
Yeah, it's a good one. After 1921, the interest in the fairies faded.
Mm-hmm.
In 1966, Elsie Wright was tracked down and interviewed for the Daily Express.
So now she's a grown woman.
Yes. And in this interview, she claimed that the fairies were a figment of her imagination.
Oh.
And that the photos were photographs of figments of her and Francis's imagination. And that's all she was going to say about it.
That doesn't make any sense whatsoever. I still think I'm right.
Yeah, you do?
Yeah.
So in 1978, the pictures were enhanced via computer and deemed to be fake by magician James Randi. And a team from the Committee for the Scientific Investigation of Claims of the Paranormal.
Oh, that, yes, I feel like I've heard of that committee before. I don't know if I don't think I've talked about the committee before, but other podcasts and videos I've talked about that committee before, because it had to do with a lot of like vaudeville acts and stuff that went around, or like seancey people who went around.
Yeah,
and we can speak to the paranormal or the dead or whatever.
Yeah, and actually, so a lot of that was going around in the 1920s in particular.
Yeah. That's why I think that's where I've heard of that committee before.
Which might have, well, I mean, now we're in 1970s.
Yeah, but I mean, like, it was spurred on by this.
Yeah, and it wouldn't surprise me because, yes, in the 1920s, people wanted to believe in other things. And there's, we'll get into the reasons why people might want to believe in this sort of thing later.
Yeah.
In 1983, the cousins admitted in another interview that they had indeed faked the photos.
Yep.
Although they maintained that the fairies did indeed exist.
Oh, yeah.
The fairies that they used in the photos had been cardboard standees propped up via hat pins.
I knew it! I knew it! This was my theory all along. I was like, they're just pictures. They just cut them out and stuck them up, didn't they? Yeah. They look like that.
Yeah, they cut them out.
I have eyes.
They cut them out of an illustration.
I knew it.
Put them on cardboard, and they're like, yeah, there we go.
I knew it.
Except for the fifth photo.
Oh, yes.
So the women couldn't agree about the fifth photo of the fairies sunbathing.
Uh-huh.
Frances believed that it was really fairies, while Elsie claimed that it was staged. Both women claimed to have taken the picture. So they don't know necessarily who took the picture, and they didn't stage it, basically. Well, Frances doesn't believe it was staged. Elsie thought it was. So photo expert Jeffrey Crawley explained the picture, saying that it was likely an unintended double exposure of the fairy cutouts in the grass. And I just thought that that was particularly interesting.
Oh, yeah. I could definitely see how the double exposure happens in this picture.
Right? Because it kind of looks
like... it's the exact same fairy.
Exactly.
Twice, but one's kind of blurry.
Exactly. So. And they're kind of see-through-y, which is very different from the other photos.
Yeah. It's honestly almost in color, and the other ones aren't, kind of thing.
Well, they did release, like, colored photos of these later. And if you want to, like, look into how they do colored colored photos back
they
then.
They add color back in.
Yeah, they drew on things, basically. So the cousins explained that they never thought of it really as, like, tricking anyone.
Except they absolutely did.
Well, a quote from Frances in the interview where they came forward said, "I never even thought of it as being a fraud. It was just Elsie and I having a bit of fun, and I can't understand to this day why they were taken in. They wanted to be taken in."
I suppose.
And I can kind of agree that.
And I know they've been enhanced nowadays, but it's pretty darn obvious that it's, you know.
Yeah.
They're standing still. They're pictures. Mm-hmm. They look like drawn pictures, basically.
Mm-hmm.
They look like artistic pictures of fairies. They don't look like
human beings.
Living thing.
Well, yeah, and like the shadows are all off. Everything.
Yeah, they don't
off.
Have shadows half the time. I mean,
where there should be curves.
Their wings aren't see through. They're translucent. They're just white. And I'm like, I suppose that can happen, but like, really?
So it kind of looks really obvious that they were staged.
Yeah. So I suppose, they did want to be taken.
Yeah. And like we were saying earlier, in the 1920s, people wanted to believe in this sort of thing.
Yeah.
And so my next point comes to you, why were these photos so widely believed by a lot of people?
Well, that's a good question.
Well, one thing that was brought up was the fact that it was close to the end of World War I.
Okay.
So the world's kind of like coming back together. They're kind of
chilling down, winding down.
Yeah. And they're wanting some kind of distraction almost from.
Also, it's a bit of innocence.
Everything. Yes, exactly. It's just like lighthearted fun. It's not hurting anyone by believing in this stuff. So why not? Or at least believing in the fairies. There are some problems with the whole mysticism movement.
Yeah. We'll probably get into that another time.
Probably get into it in a moment.
In a moment.
Yeah. Because, so, another reason why they were so widely believed was because of the involvement of Sir Arthur Conan Doyle.
Oh, yes, him.
Yes. So, he was known to back the ideas that the photos were real. Conan Doyle, for those who don't know, and I'm not sure why you wouldn't, he was a medical doctor. And also the author of the Sherlock Holmes books. Yep. He was the creator of Sherlock Holmes.
And big old fan of Houdini?
He and Houdini were friends, and actually that's...
Yeah, but
that
he was like a hardcore fan of Houdini,
so
too.
So he had a long-standing interest in the paranormal and the mythical, and spent a good amount of time investigating and researching such subjects. This interest ultimately led to his falling out with American magician Harry Houdini.
Aww.
So the two had been friends for a long time, but Houdini despised the spiritualism movement. especially after the death of his mother, because he believed, like, mediums were tricking people and that they were fraudulent and, like, scamming people out of their hard-earned money.
Yeah.
That sort of thing. Or giving them false hope.
Yeah.
And so he absolutely hated the spiritualism movement, and it bothered him that Conan Doyle hardcore believed in it.
Yeah.
So Conan Doyle was convinced Houdini in particular was capable of magic.
He literally thought he was magic.
Houdini actually did one of his tricks for Conan Doyle in his home, trying to encourage the author to not just buy into something because it looked convincing.
Oh, yeah. He explained how his tricks worked. He goes, no, you're just a wizard.
Conan Doyle only became more convinced that Houdini had psychic powers.
I just love that whole thing. Just imagining this grown man, this renowned author.
Like, why won't you trust me with your secrets of magic? Yeah, like,
why won't you trust me? We're friends. Well, just tell me.
I mean, it would make sense. You can kind of see.
I want a dramatization of this, but like maybe as a comedy.
I imagine it almost like the WandaVision. The magic show. Act.
Oh, yeah,
where they're like clearly trying to do fake magic.
Oh yeah.
And so when something actual magic comes on, Wanda has to like pull up. Oh, look, here's the strings. Oh, here's the mirrors. Oops.
Yeah, turns around, goes, there's a mirror in here. Oops.
Yeah. And so I figure like that was almost what Conan Doyle thought was going on. Like, oh, they're tricking me. They're bringing in
Houdini, you kooky bastard. Just let me in. Let me in.
So Conan Doyle definitely had a confirmation bias. Aww, like everything around him, he was like, yes, this is proving that spirits, mythical,
just
paranormal,
an innocent man
exists. Which I think might have been why he hated his character Sherlock Holmes so much. He absolutely hated Sherlock Holmes. Oh yeah. No, because he didn't really want to be writing him after a while. That's why he actually killed off Sherlock Holmes in a book. And then the fans demanded that he be brought back.
He didn't really die.
Yeah. And so he had to basically find a way that, you know.
Yeah. He Harry Houdini'd it.
Yes. Yeah. No, but I think writing a character that was so based in, this is science. Mm-hmm. This is what's going on. I can deduct that this is happening.
Yeah.
That sort of thing. I mean, granted, Sherlock Holmes is a lot different than, you know, how we see it portrayed in media today, because he wasn't really just smart. He was also on cocaine. Which at the time was fine.
There is a depiction of one of the many TV shows that's like mm-hmm. based off of him. It's not Sherlock. I think it might be Watson. No. God, what is it called?
There's a few on there.
It's the one with Lucy Liu.
Elementary.
Elementary. He is like a recovering drug addict in that one.
Yeah.
So and at least they added that cocaine back in.
Except nowadays people, I've seen the comparison being made to like, this is a guy who has a severe caffeine / energy drink addiction. Like imagine a guy like pouring a monster into his morning coffee and like that's what you get.
Except now they have monster coffee energy drinks.
I know. They've had this for a while, Marita.
It's disgusting.
I've had several in my life. Not anymore. Not since the incident. Okay.
The face I was just making at Ashlyn was stunned to say the
incident I'm referring to is getting sick. Anyway.
Their heart, you know, failing in general.
So Conan Doyle saw the original two photos in 1920 at around the same time as the conference where they were displayed.
Yes. And he was happy.
Yes. He published an article about them the magazine The Strand.
Oh.
And he'd actually published work in that magazine before, including some of his Sherlock Holmes work. Like, that was where it first got popular.
Now I want some kind of merch that says, I want to believe like Arthur Conan Doyle.
I want to believe in something
as strongly as
Sir Arthur Conan Doyle believed Harry Houdini was magic and that these fairies were real.
Just make that succinct and say, I want to believe like Sir Arthur Conan Doyle believed.
There you go.
and then people will be like, what do you mean? And be like, look it up.
Look it up, friends. So okay. He worked closely with Edward Gardner to investigate these fairies.
Yes, yes, yes.
And he actually would go on to write his own book on the Cottingley fairies.
Oh, babe.
You know, we can rest easy, though, because he died before the women came forward about, you know, having faked those. Okay, so he really got to believe to the end.
I'm very happy for him. I think Sir Arthur Conan Doyle is now my favorite movie. He just wanted it so bad.
Right. So it was when Conan Doyle became involved that the girls felt they couldn't come clean about the pictures due to his notoriety.
Oh. And also, like, he really wants it.
This is actually what got Elsie Wright's father to sign off on, like, the photos being, like, distributed. Because, again, he thought it was a prank.
That's true.
But when Conan Doyle became interested, he's like, oh, well, maybe. Here you go. I'll at least humor you. Which is probably why he also refused to take money at this point. Because he's like, I don't want people to just think we're in it for the fame and fortune here.
Yeah.
So even though the girls seemed to be telling the truth. Oh, sorry. Another reason why a lot of people believe this, though, was that the girls seemed to be telling the truth. Like, apparently, most people thought that they were honest-looking girls. Like, they were shy. They were normal girls.
They were tween girls in 1917. They're not innocent. I've seen Anne with Knee. They're up to all kinds of mischief.
That was Canada.
They're bored.
Well, at the very least, even if the photos were... I don't think that was 1917.
It's turn of the century.
Oh, yeah.
1911. Around that era. Yeah.
I don't know. I saw all of Anna with the Knee. I binged it. Did we talk about... We talked about that.
I'm opening the snack right now.
Why?
I don't know. I've been staring at it for like half an hour.
So even though the girls... even though they faked the photos, they still believed that they saw fairies down in Cottingley Beck, which might have been why they looked like, oh, they were telling the truth. Like, that might have been why, because they believed their own stories. Like, yes, the fairies are here. This is real. So all of the evidence that they would show Gardner around the Beck, like proving fairies and everything, they probably believed that that was evidence.
Yeah.
Even if the photos themselves weren't real. So perhaps that was truth enough. And that's all I have for you on the Cottingley fairies.
I'm still reeling about Sir Arthur.
I know there's a reason why I saved that for last, because most of the articles get right into the fact that he was a huge proponent of this. And there's a lot of articles out there about it.
Yeah.
Because it's really interesting. I mean, Sir Arthur Conan Doyle was an interesting person.
Oh, yeah.
Not only was he a doctor and an author, he had a hand in so many different pots, so to speak, you know?
And he just wanted to believe.
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh.
My heart.
Was that heartwarming enough for you?
Yes.
I just wanted to touch a little bit on it. Yeah, and I wanted to cover this because I love fairies. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've discussed this before. I do
believe in fairies. I do.
You know, I've been thinking something that we should probably offer on Patreon is like bonus episodes of just our niche interests. So it's not like a conspiracy or paranormal thing. It's just like a lot of information
just
about something we love.
Back to the Future.
Yes, you with Back to the Future, me with fairies, you know, a bunch of different stuff.
One time,
I think that'd be good content.
And I know you've heard this. So if you'd like that, please let us know. You could let us know at matterthanacaterpillar@gmail.com, or you can visit us on our Instagram page at matterthanacaterpillar, where I guess I will be posting these very, very believable pictures.
Photos of real fairies.
Photos of the real fairies, at least according to Sir Arthur Conan Doyle.
Miranda wants to believe that they are actually fairies now because Sir Arthur Conan Doyle believes.
He's my hero.
Sorry, the tonal shift for you, like, introducing, yeah, you could email us. I was not prepared for that whiplash.
Well, I said it, and then I was like, ooh.
Here we go.
There's a segue in there plug. Right there.
Speaking of segues, you can also reach us at Twitter.
You're the worst at segues.
I really am. Have you not noticed that most of my segues here are anyway and so? Editing my podcast is a waking nightmare. But you can reach us on Twitter at Madder Than a Cat. And you can tell us, I don't know, what your favorite kind of fairy is. I want to know.
Sure. There's a girl on TikTok who's been talking about, I guess, the original Pixie Hollow books or Tinkerbell books, which I didn't know about at all. And apparently they don't sell them anymore. And I'm upset about it because it's super interesting. So I started following her because she keeps talking about these books. And I was like, I want to know these books. I want to try to find them.
Yeah.
I want to try to find them because they sound...
I'm intrigued.
I like the movies. Don't get me wrong. I really like the movies, but they sound far more like well-rounded than the movies or not less innocent. You know what I mean? Like less
cleaned up.
Yeah. I mean, obviously they were made for like little kids on Disney. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And the older books, the original books were made more like a little more grown up than that, you know?
Well,
a little bit more riveting.
I mean, a lot of old fairy tales are pretty,
like, I guess there's, like, one fairy who, like, cut her own wings off.
That would make sense.
Or something. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
And now I really want to read the books.
Miranda's like, wait a minute.
I don't care who they're
gore.
For. No, not gore. It sounds interesting. I hate gore.
I know you do. But, hey, if you're interested in that, you can also borrow my copy of Grimm's Fairy Tales that I have upstairs.
Yeah.
The original ones. Because I
That's
have...
That's not as exciting.
I mean, it is to me, but also anywho, I love fairy tales and
we
fairies.
We also have a Facebook page, BT Dubs, at ITYW Podcast, or I'll tell you what, with a period instead of an ellipses.
And we also have a TikTok, at Madder Than a Caterpillar. And we haven't uploaded anything in a while, and we probably...
No, I uploaded something this past week.
Oh,
last Saturday.
Thank you. I have a lot of sounds for us. But
yeah,
I also don't want to record right now.
Everything. I know. You look like garbage.
Thanks. Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
That was really needed.
You're welcome.
It's fine. I haven't really bothered to...
honesty is, you know, the best policy.
To put on makeup or anything because I was sick.
It's fine.
I gave myself one day to recover and then I returned to work and then I got on a plane. I wasn't contagious. Don't worry. Promise.
Everything's fine.
Probably should have said that at the beginning.
Oh, it's a stomach bug. You can't really pass it around. Like,
yeah.
The kind it was.
Exactly.
It's not one of those kind.
Yeah.
But yeah. That's about it.
Thanks for joining us here at...
Okay, so...
The Madhouse.
With that, we'll leave you with this. Tell your mom.
Tell your dad.
Tell your friends.
Tell the FBI agent listening through your phone.
And... Tell Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, who just really wants to believe, and he's in your closet. And good night.
This episode was a mess.
It was beautiful.
I think I can hear Mom singing in the background.
Oh, God. Mom!
Hopefully it's copyright free hymns.
Okay,
probably is.
Bye.